Penguin Random House Audio presents 3 Days in June, a novel by Anne Tyler. Read for you by J. Smith Cameron. 1. Day of Beauty. People don't tap their watches anymore. Have you noticed? Standard wristwatches, I'm talking about. Remember how people used to tap them? My father, for instance, his watch was a Timex with a face as big as a 50-cent piece, and whenever my mother kept him waiting, he would frown down at it and give it a tap, implying, I suppose now, can this possibly be correct? Could it really be this late? But when I was a little girl, I imagined he was trying to make time move faster, to bring my mother before us instantly, already wearing her coat, someone in a speeded-up movie. What reminded me of this recently was that Marilee Burton, the headmistress at the school where I worked, called me into her office one Friday morning as I was walking past. "Come chat for a moment, why don't you?" she said. This was not a regular occurrence. We were on more or less formal terms. She waved toward the Windsor chair facing her desk, but I stayed in the doorway and cocked my head at her. "I thought I should let you know," she said. "I won't be coming in on Monday. I have to have a cardioversion." "A what?" I asked. "A procedure for my heart. It's been beating wrong." "Oh," I said. I couldn't pretend to be surprised. She was one of those ladylike women who wear heels on all occasions, the perfect candidate for heart issues. "Well, I'm sorry to hear that," I told her. "They're giving it an electrical jolt that will stop it and then start it again." "Huh," I said, "like tapping a watch." "Pardon?" "Is it dangerous?" I asked. "No, no," she said. "I've had it done once before, in fact, but that was over spring break, so I didn't see the need to announce it." "Okay," I said, "and how long will you be out at the office?" "I'll be back on Tuesday, good as new. No need to alter your routine in the slightest." "However," she said, and then she sat straighter behind her desk. She cleared her throat. She briskly aligned a stack of papers that didn't need aligning. "However, it brings me to a subject I've been meaning to discuss with you." I stood a bit straighter myself. I'm very alert to people's tones of voice. "I'll be 66 years old on my next birthday," she said, "and Ralph just turned 68. He's starting to talk about traveling a bit and seeing more of the grandchildren."
"Really?"
"So I'm thinking of handing in my resignation before the new school year begins." The new school year would begin in September. We were already in late June. I said, "So does this mean I'll take over as headmistress?" It was a perfectly logical question, right? Somebody had to do it, and I was next in line, for sure. I'd been Marilee's assistant for the past 11 years, but Marilee let a small silence develop, as if I'd presumed in some way. Then she said, "Well, that's what I wanted to chat about." She selected the top sheet on her stack of papers, and she turned it around to face me and slid it across her desk. I stepped forward grudgingly. I squinted at it. A typewritten page with a newspaper clipping stapled to one corner. A black and white photo of a serious young woman with energetically curly dark hair. "Nashville Educators Study on Learning Differences Wins McClellan Prize," the headline read. I said, "Nashville?" We lived in Baltimore, and I had no idea what the McClellan Prize was. "I brought her name to the board's attention when I first began to think of retiring," Marilee said. "Dorothy Edge, maybe you've heard of her. I'd read her book, you see, and I'd found it very impressive." "You brought her to the board's attention," I repeated. "After all, Gail," she said, "you're 61 years old, am I right? You won't be working much longer yourself." "I'm 61 years old," I said, "nowhere near retirement age." "It's not only a matter of age," she told me. She was looking at me with her chin raised, the way people do when they know they're in the wrong. "Face it, this job is a matter of people skills. You know that, and surely you'll be the first to admit that social interactions have never been your strong point."